just an interview with Mildred Van Blocklin and interviewed by Carol Summers. We're going to start. And Mildred, when were you born?
April 5th, 1909.
Well, you've seen a lot of changes, haven't you?
Quite a few.
What's your full name?
Mildred Catherine Spencer Van Blocklin.
How long have your folks been in this valley?
Gosh, my grandparents came in 1862.
How did they travel here?
By wagon train, with oxen.
How many were in their family at that time?
There were just three, just my grandmother and grandfather and their small son.
And their name was?
Geckler.
First name?
George and Catherine Geckler.
You remember them saying what it was like on the train when they first got to the valley?
Well, I remember they saying the valley was covered with tall grass as far as the eye could see. And I think they came in September. And they didn't really plan to stop here. They intended to go on to the Willamette Valley. But they were out of food, and so they decided to stop for the winter.
I wonder if any other stop that helped settle the valley at that time. Do you remember?
Well, I think there was, but I don't know. Oh, there were several, I think. I don't know whether any of the train went on. I think they all, I don't know how big the train it was, though, either.
They might have spent the winter, you think?
Yes, I think so.
Was there a town here at that time?
Oh, no. No, I don't think a town. There were some settlers, though, of course. I think up in what they call Old Town then.
So where did they settle then?
Well, just on where Geckler Lane is now.
Okay, so there's through Geckler Lane and then on across to Highway 30, where Geckler Lane goes clear through all that area?
I think so. I think they built a cabin. Probably that winter they lived in just a makeshift tent. But I think in the spring they built a cabin then, I think.
Your parents then were your mother or your father was the Geckler?
Mother.
So tell me more about the Geckler family that when they settled here. How many?
I think this is dumb.
But how many brothers and sisters did they have eventually?
Turn it off. I'm not going to do it.
Where you have the bedroom, you know, where you have got everything now. Of course, upstairs, you know, there was just little. So, of course, there were just two bedrooms for all of us. And so all of us kids were in that one bedroom, you know. We had two big double beds, and of course the funny thing, I was 8 years old. Gosh, an 8 year old now knows everything about people, you know. Where babies come from, you know what. Kids now, no. But anyway, when Bob was born, see, they just moved up there. Bob was born in that house. You knew that, I guess.
Yeah.
And right in the bedroom where you guys are now, and we were in this other room. And so it was at night, and I heard a lot of noises out there, and Mother was just groaning or screaming or something, you know. And gosh, I was scared. And I thought, my gosh, I'd put my head under the covers, and I think pretty soon Dad came in, and maybe I was yelling or something. I don't know about that. I don't know why he came in. And so anyway, he said, "Well, you go back to sleep. Everything's all right." And so I tried to, and I guess it kind of must have quieted down. But in the morning, then I had found out, see, that Dr. Richard, or whoever it was, I guess it was Dr. Richard, came in, and then Bob had been born. And of course, then they told kids that the doctor came, had a little black bag, and the baby's
with the bag.
I can't understand why people told lies.
Well, did they not have a hospital then, or did it cost too much? Or
there was. I think there was a hospital, but I guess I don't know. Probably cost too much. But I don't know how it could. But I don't know, or whether maybe mother just wanted it. I don't know.
Well, home birthing was pretty
common. Yeah.
So then what did you do when you played? You had the big yard, and what did you do for games and that sort of thing?
Over there?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, we did. I don't know. We did.
Did you have a lot of chores? What kind of chores did you have?
Have a what?
Chores. Chores.
Oh, chores.
I mean, it was a farm. What did you have on the farm?
Well, when we first started, we didn't have a farm when we first went up there. It was just a place to live. We didn't have it.
Just a house.
Yeah, to get us out of the grandma's way. You know, we were just running her crazy, I must have.
Across the way in the old Geckler place.
Yeah.
Because grandma was the youngest.
Yeah, I told you that about how she'd given those acreage and all that. I probably, an acre was a big thing, or maybe half an acre to build a house, because we were just running her crazy. And that's how they happened to do that.
So then your dad, what did he do to make a living then?
He was a carpenter, always been a carpenter.
Well, now, is there a lot of apple trees? Did he do anything with the apple trees? Or?
There wasn't any. It was just nothing there for a lot. We didn't have. He started to plant, but there wasn't hardly any apple. Well, there was a little apple tree, but with, you know, because I was, but he didn't. He had a garden all the time. He raised a garden. And then I think he did start to get a cow or two for the mill. And he raised some chickens.
So he built the barn and the house and the chicken house and built all the
buildings. Yeah, but that barn, you see, wasn't built until when? 26. A long time there wasn't anything there. He probably didn't have any money. I don't think that, you know, he didn't have steady work, because there were just jobs that he was doing.
Well, then what did the Gecklers do for a living? And did they, Geckler, they were farms.
Yeah, they had a farm.
So what did they raise then?
Just like wheat and grains.
Did they have animals?
Yeah, of course, Dad then, after he got started, then he got a cow or two and some chickens, but it's very, you know, slow to start, because I'm sure he didn't have any money. We really were poor. Poor.
Well, now, when you mentioned the music thing, what did he do? He had his brothers, and they played dances. Tell me about that.
He loved the violin. And
did his parents play? Were they musical? Mm-hmm.
Not that I know of. Hmm. Of course, I didn't know his dad. I think he died. People died young a long time ago. You know? I don't know where they got.
Where that music came from.
I don't know. Probably there. Maybe his dad, because I didn't know him.
But he had brothers then. How many brothers?
I guess there were five.
And they all played?
Oh, they had a banjo and a mandolin, just old-time music, you know, dance music.
And where did they play?
or just around for people, because they met people at people's homes. They put the rugs out of the, usually had the spill rugs, and they danced.
Oh, in people's homes.
In people's homes,
Well, now, did any organizations have dances too then?
Well, I don't, they probably did, but I don't know about them. Because we were just, we were, I think you'd call us backwoodsy.
Well, now, in the hard winters, what did you do, for instance, in the evenings? I mean, you had,
Well, I, of course, I read a lot, but we didn't have electricity, had this old lamps, you know, because there wasn't really, I don't know when electricity came. We had oil lamps, and but we went to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, now where did you go to where, tell me about the school, where you went to school.
Oh, well, Liberty, you know.
Which is, where was that now?
It was out by Blue Mountain Grange.
And that's the one on McAllister.
Yeah.
How many rooms was that?
In a room? Just one room. All 8 grades in one room.
And when did they start school? In the fall and get out in the spring? Do you remember?
When? Well, they started just regular, like in September. You went to school a whole year.
So you just walked down Yekler Lane to school?
Mm-hmm. Usually over a big snowdrift, because there was most of, when we had more snow, of course, you just walked on the snowdrifts because there wasn't any roads there. If the roads were, if it snowed.
Because nobody plowed roads at that time at all then?
Oh, no.
So would people park quite a ways away, or how did they get to their house?
It wasn't, in fact, that road was closed, you see, on 32 when we were married. There was a highway was through there, but they didn't, it wasn't in the city or anything, so that nobody plowed out that road. So we kept our the car over across the, where the McCalls were lived, you know. So we'd walk over there and go on, kept the highway. The highway was there. So there wasn't any way to get on the highway when that road across, you know, get where land was. They never plowed that out, so if it drifted, which they had a lot of snow.
Well, of course, you probably, then you didn't run to the grocery store because there probably weren't any, or were there markets, or did you just grow your own and what?
Oh, no, there
food?
Were markets, Not big chain markets, but yeah, they had.
Now, how did they put up their garden and so forth to preserve that?
How they was?
Preserve the garden. They do a lot of canning.
Oh, a lot of canning. And drying.
Oh, drying.
Drying
too. Was this outdoor dry? How did they dry?
They had stands and screen where they put. Gosh, it was, and the flies would get. It isn't a pretty picture. We dried apples and corn. I remember. A lot of apples. They dried apples. It was they were kind of good.
Okay. So the rest of it were basically canned in jars and so forth.
Yeah, fruit. They raise a garden and can beans and of course they'd raise their own down on ground. They'd have hogs. Remember they had these. Kill a lot of hogs and have what, remember, like Deanne said, you know.
Well, then they have the family gather together when they do the butchering, or everybody kind of do their own?
Well, everybody kind of did their own. But probably did have a great big vat that they did large, so sometimes people would bring their things over to their house to do it, because he had, gosh, I don't know how, where he ever got that big large thing. Was huge.
Oh, to cook, to render the lard in.
Mm-hmm.
Big, there must be two. There's a big family there on that side, and then those girls, your aunts, married within the valley and stayed here pretty much. So did they have big family get-togethers then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did the, what kind of games did the kids play? It had to be a bunch of kids.
Well, I don't know. They just played among themselves. wasn't any super much. Probably Babylon, probably too.
Well, then when did you start taking piano? How old were you?
Oh, I was 10 years old.
Had you played music all those years, or you just did that for a while?
You know, that group?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were still playing, I think. Well, of course, some of them got married and kind of moved away, moved not close. But I still did it. Gosh, I can't remember. It wasn't just while I was in grade school, I think they still did it.
What were they? What did they call themselves?
Oh, the Spencer Boys.
The Spencer Boys. I wonder if they ever took any pictures of them. I've never seen any.
Gosh, I think. With their group, you mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. There may have been some. Lorene might. I don't know if she's still alive or not, but she might know more about that than I do.
I was just curious as the kids get out and play now, and I just wondered what they, how they made up their games, or they played tag or what.
Oh, I think they made kind of their own toys a lot, you know, and they had, they had some old-fashioned
mm-hmm.
toys, you know, like that you saw that some Bob had, you know, mm-hmm. a little older.
What, I mean, there were cars, certainly, some shape or another.
There was a livery stable, where people said that.
And horses, and
yeah, horses, okay. Yeah. And so there, where the Goss's garage is
mm-hmm.
now, there was a livery stable there. And so, in fact, when my first year or two, maybe I think, yeah, I'm sure the first year. Well, I would walk up the corner and go to school. Velma was driving a horse and buggy. That's why I went to school the first year in high school. And so I'd walk up to her and give them the little buggy of hers. She had one horse buggy. And then we'd leave it at the livery stable and then walk up to high school.
Hmm. So when did they get their first car? Do you remember the first car? Or a truck?
Yeah, I remember it was a Ford. Remember it had no glass in it, you know, side curtains with little eyes and glass windows that you could see through.
Yeah, was there a dealership here that sold that?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was. I probably remember. I remember there was a Piggly Wiggly's grocery store that we went to. I never went to a grocery store. My mother made all my clothes, but we sure bought shoes. I'm sure we had shoe store someplace. I think
maybe it was a general type store. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was. But it's probably in the history someplace.
Mm-hmm.
My grand mm-hmm. probably tells about it.
But you do. But Le Grand was a place that you really grew up in and shopped in. And,
oh yeah.
And that was the connection to Le Grand. I wonder how many doctors there were here at that time.
I don't know. I think it was a Dr. Molitor that I remember.
But now, were there any, there wasn't, did they have silent films, anything like that here?
Yeah, but I don't know how, I don't know when.
You mentioned dances. I was looking for any other kind of thing you would do for entertainment other than getting together. And
I can't remember I was at a theater. I think it was up there up at the other end of town.
The box, or what was that called? How about restaurants?
Gosh, I don't know. There were restaurants, I know, but I've never went to a restaurant for, I must have been freshly grown. But I'm sure there were restaurants, but we just couldn't afford it probably in the first place, and just nobody did it. We were backwoodsy. There isn't any question about it.
So tell me about the music. You said you started when you were about 8.
No, 10.
10. Well, who did you start with?
Glennis Miller, which she was a church organist.
What church was that?
I think the Presbyterian church was built up here. It's kind of pretty old, I think, don't you?
So you started taking lessons from her at the church or at her home, or did she have a studio?
It was her home. She lived up on, I've walked to there too, everyone. It was up on, go straight up on the hill there. She lived up on the hill where B Avenue now, or C or someplace. They had, maybe that old house is still there, I don't know. But I only took from her for a year because she left to go back to study, Chicago or someplace. And so, then evidently she and Lillian Wells were friends, I think. So she called up and wanted Gladys Miller. I told her, you know, that I probably did okay. I mean, because she was so insistent that I keep on.
So how long did that was in when you were in through school then?
Well, that was 10. That was 10 when I started, and then it was about 11 then when I started with Lillian, I think. Then I took, you see, from her up until what that.
What students did Lily Reynolds have then, you think?
Oh, she had a lot.
She was the music teacher in town.
Yeah. Well, no, she didn't. No, that was Cheryl Antoinette who was there too. She had a lot of students because people just, they still did that. People had pianos.
And when did you start teaching yourself?
Oh, that was in 1928, that's the year after I graduated in 27, and 28 I started to teach.
And were you still living at home then?
Uh-huh. Drove Dad's car.
So you drove to all your students? Nobody came there?
No.
So how did you drum up business?
Oh. Well, I do know kind of because it was starting to get bad, you know. So
economically.
And so some of the students that couldn't afford the other teachers would come to me because I, you know, was cheap, 50 cents or less, okay. I can't remember. So that's so then after I got started, of course.
Now, did you just do it primarily in LeGrand in the area, or did you go other
places? No, I went to Ember. Had one day at Ember,
So you had several, one day at Ember, and you had several lessons that day?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And where else did you go?
Well, I guess just around here, I think. I don't think I went any other than Ember. Didn't go to Colmar.
And you got married, and how later on?
Well, yeah, I got married. That was what, in 20, did I say 28? And then, you see, I got married. I was saving up, I wanted to go to school. So, of course, I did buy the gas, I think, but, of course, Dad let me use his car. And so I had about $800 saved, which that was a lot of money then. Because you could go to school for $1,000, it would pay for everything. So I was just lacking about $200, you see, so I could go. I wanted to go to the University of Oregon because I wanted a music department. There wasn't any music up here.
Okay.
See, in 29, the college, just college started, but it was just purely normal. It was just for teachers at this normal school. So I didn't want to just teach school. I wanted some music. There wasn't any music there at all. It was just...
Okay.
So that's why I didn't go there. So I taught and tried to save my money.
That was a lot of 50-cent lessons for $800.
Well, I had a lot of students, too.
So what happened then?
Well, the bank closed. The money was gone.
That must have just devastated you.
And everything was like that. People, you know, now, you can see why it's called the Great Depression.
Well, what else happened here? I mean, the banks closed. What else happened?
Well, just everything stopped. Mala was working for the railroad then, and they had transferred him to Portland. I think he worked up here for a while. So they lost their job. And of course there wasn't like there now, you know, that you didn't get money for. And so
the mill wasn't here then?
No. There was a mill.
Starkey?
Well, no, there was an old mill there, but it wasn't the Boise Cascade. Mm-hmm. It was just a little mill, Palmer Mill, I think, or something like that. So Milo lived in the Pierce House, Milo and Jean, for a while, and he sold for aggressions. Everybody did everything they could think of to earn a living, you know. I don't think he was very successful with that either, because filler brushes were always kind of expensive.
So then what did you do after that then?
After what?
After you lost the money and couldn't go to school.
Got married. that's the truth. I just thought, well, gosh.
Did you ever think you'd marry a farmer?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, no, I didn't. I thought I would be lucky to marry anybody. I was real, as I've told you before, we were back at Woodsy, Carol. I was just shy and you know, and of course I met Pop in church. I guess I told you that. That's where I met him. He was playing a clarinet in an orchestra. A little orchestra they had in church there. An old, it wasn't now, it was an old building.
Is it the Presbyterian church again?
No, it was the First Christian.
Okay.
I don't know how he had, well, I think it's because he loved music too, and they had just a little orchestra. Somebody invited him to go to that orchestra. Otherwise, he would, because he was they were strong Methodists, you know. And he didn't like to go to church, but his mother made him, of course, anyway. But he did, and it was evening, because that's when they had the church sort of, I don't know, kind of where they had to sing and they did
an evening.
So that's where I met him.
So then how long did you go together before you got married?
Well, not very long. Probably a year, maybe a year, a little over a year, maybe.
So were you married here?
No. He went, it was, and gosh, I don't know, that we had a little old, that awful old pickup, you know. We used to have pictures of it someplace, I don't know. It was just a little old truck, that's what it was. It was awful. But that's all the car we had for a long time, that little old pickup. And after we got married, then I drove that little pickup to teach in.
So where did you live then?
Here. Upstairs, 4 months.
And were you planning to build or just going to stay here? What were your plans?
Well, we just had a little apartment upstairs. Because, gosh, nobody had any money, Carol, even. It was absolutely no money. You know.
What were they raising on this farm then?
Mostly wheat and barley. They had cows. milked cows and had pigs.
And then they had sheep too.
They did have an old Caterpillar tractor though that was old, and but they did part of the work in that then afterward. But they still used horses a lot for hay. They raise hay and have hay in the barn out there, you know, where, you know, on that.
And you mentioned sometime about bringing some special bulls in the valley.
So what?
Bulls?
Oh, well, that's what the Van Blockens, they call them Blocker brothers, and Andrew and Garrett. Yeah, they had real high-priced Hereford cattle. That's the, and he would go, I think so.
Mm-hmm. So how many acres did they have, you think, roughly?
Oh, well, I don't know. A lot, though. You know, they lost it, you see.
When you were here, and then when did Garrett die?
Oh, see, that's a, we were married in February, and he died in December. And we had a terrible year. We probably shouldn't have got married in the first place, but you're not taking this, are you?
Hmm.
Now, of course, it's so different. But gosh, especially me, of course, I mean, people live together now. They don't have to get married, and of course I think that's nice in a way, because it was so strict then, mm-hmm. before, you know, that, and Pop was getting older, you know, so he was anxious to get married, and then of course I was so shy, and there's a thing, an old thing that I wrote on it, and it was, I thought I'd be an old, I didn't think I'd ever get married or have kids or anything. You know, and so it was kind of sad. And so when Pop, he was cute as a bug there, you know, when he was little, drank a little too much, but he was. And so I was so flattered that he had had asked me,
yeah.
Do you see why?
Oh, sure.
And so I thought, gosh, if I wanted to get married, we better better do it. I was an old, but I was 22, I think, which was kind of old then, you know, because a lot of people got married younger, in their 18 or so. And so we didn't have any money, so of course, so we fixed, well, I told you about that chair in Davenport we bought, you know, and that little chair that was, or a stove that we had up there. See, there's a thing, we had a stove up there, and Dad made that cupboard, you know, that I showed you, that you took over there now for our dishes. And old people gave me, they had showers. I got a lot of nice things in my shower. And so, gee, it was nice up there. We'd cook. I wasn't a very good cook anyway, but I was learning to cook. And then, see, that was in February. And then in March, Grandmama got sick, and we thought it was just a flu. She really, and she didn't, gosh, she got worse and worse. And they finally got a doctor and found out she had typhoid fever. And so they quarantined then, of course, and they didn't take her to the hospital then either. People just, sure, it was kind of strange. And why didn't you, there was a hospital here. Didn't have any money, I guess, though. Anyway, there was a nurse came, though. The doctor, she had Dr., I forget what his name is. Moore, I think he was named one. So they had a nurse come out and take care of her. She was, it's a wonder she didn't die.
Did she live here?
Yeah.
Because she was quarantined.
Yeah, And so, the nurse, I remember the nurse, gosh, she was the biggest snore. We could hear her the whole house. But Anyway, then I moved down here. I mean, we didn't move down, but then I had to, I started to cook, and Mother had, gosh, she didn't really teach me to cook, or I didn't want to learn or something. And so, but that, so I had to cook for the nurse, but she ate here too, and Pepper's dad, and of course Grandma Emma couldn't eat, they were just giving her liquids or something. She was really bad. She had to be, you know, 24-hour nursing. But anyway, that was terrible. I just remember how, and Clifford's dad, he wanted a pie. Well, I'd never made a pie in my life. But and so I remember him laughing at me, trying to roll out pie crust. But anyway, that, so then, you see, but it was bad then. That I'm sure that Clifford's dad knew they were losing the place, see. And then in December, that same year, he died. He was out taking care of stock or something, and it was colder. Oh my gosh, it was cold. One of those real cold December. There was they used to have a big stove there. And he came in and sat down on the stair and stole me. And I was teaching because I had lessons in the morning too. We were living on what I made, on this 50 cents lesson or whatever it was. So I would go in the morning before school and then after school.
So he was just sat by the stove?
I didn't know about it until I'd come home there and found that people there, you know. Yeah, just on account of Grandma Emma had signed it. Otherwise, they lost everything.
Well, now, Garrett was one, Andrew was the other. What happened to him?
Well, they lost his place, too. So, I think they had a little place over to Island City they moved to.
So then,
they didn't have hardly any equipment. when they had grain, they would hire, they had fresh machines that go around and did it.
Threshing crews that would go around.
So you didn't own too much. You had an old plow, you know, and some things you did by hand, you know, nothing. No expensive equipment.
So they didn't have the equipment that they seemed to have. It was all pretty much, the big equipment would come around in crews then.
Well, they did, they mowed their hay, you know, with a old-fashioned mower, you know, and
a rake. It was all horse-drawn, pretty much?
Yeah, a lot of horses at first. And they shop the hay and stack it, you know, in big stacks. We used to have a derrick. Do you remember the derrick?
I do. Well, now, what did they do when they brought these crews around? I mean, how many, like if they were here for several days, they took care of the threshing crews? Now, would you have to, when they were here, would you have to cook for them?
Yeah, feed them.
Mm-hmm. And how many meals?
Well, I think there was just one meal. There was just, and I don't think.
Were they local? Did they camp here sort of thing? Or did they leave at the end of the day?
Yeah, I think so. I think they had wagons or thing that they kind of covered. I think I've kind of got a wagon that they, I remember over there that you go out and watch.
They really just camp when they were
there. Yeah, they were sort of camp.
Group, when they would just go around and camp during harvest season. Mm-hmm.
But they usually, everybody sort of fed them, had dinner, one big meal a day. And I guess both they knew them probably.
So how many days would it take to thrash here? How many crews wouldn't you have? What do you get?
Not then, because it was right after that they lost it.
Oh, so they were just kind of subsisting at that point then on what a garden and what was in the smokehouse and that sort of thing?
Oh, you mean after they lost them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Still
They said, oh yeah, they still had the cattle, so they milk cows and animals. They just have chickens too. So you, not then, you know, people lived on a farm, they practiced, they just, they didn't buy an awful lot of stuff, always made bread and had their own meat, you see, so the milk and everything. You didn't go to the store very often. Mm-hmm.
That's really changed.
That's completely
changed. Completely changed, yeah. Well, and also the equipment that farmers have to have. To do that.
And that's,
thing.
Of course, if they still had the, they'd probably still be farming if they didn't have that all expensive equipment.
Well, and you're right. A lot of the family farms would still be family farms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now, pretty soon, there won't be any family farms, I'm sure.
Bad.
He said the other day, he was sitting there, he said, well, I can see, of course, Pop said it, he kept saying there wouldn't, that this valley would be farmed by just big corporations. And it's coming to that. Kurt said, I used to think Pop didn't know what he was talking about. This one big, and then some of them, he said, I forget what I remember them used to be. They had a lot of, and they've gone broke too. You have to really know what you're doing now. He said that, I forget what these called. I remember their name of them, but I can't remember now. But he said that they're selling out a lot of their stuff too.
Ever have a horse?
I had a horse over there.
Oh, when you were a kid, mm-hmm. There was a horse over there.
Oh, you have to be kind of, I wasn't a horse woman, that's for sure.
Well, you've done the music. I mean, was there any time that you did not teach? You were married and then you had kids, but did you?
Oh, huh. I quit when I was pregnant with you. I quit. That was in 38. I taught, 10 years, 28 to 38.
Okay.
And then, so I quit when you were a baby it was starting, you see, in 38, things were starting to get better. Gosh, you got a pretty good price for wheat then. And so, I didn't have to teach anymore then. It was 10 years, you see, before I didn't miss it at all.
Probably too busy.
I wasn't as crazy about it. I often think, I used to laugh at Mrs. Reynolds. She loved to teach, you know, Lillian did. And I thought, my gosh, how in the world can she do that? But I look back now and I think, my gosh, it's an addiction. It really is an addiction, I think.
Hmm.
Because, you see, I think it was a form of Lou Gehrig's disease that she had, because she got with her fingers first, you know, and she couldn't fasten her thing. But she would, they lived up there in that house, and she would have that bed moved out, and she'd talk while she was in bed.
Well, you're still standing up teaching. And sitting down. But now, when did you go back to teaching?
Well, and this is interesting because Florence Miller, you know, Marcia's, you know,
yes.
Florence. Well, she was a good friend of Mrs. Reynolds. They were, you know, and she went to the University of Washington. Florence did graduate, I think, because she taught voice, you know, and violin. She was a good violinist. Why, she called one day and she said, I was thinking maybe wouldn't you like to study piano again? And she had gone to my recitals and stuff and knew, you know, that I gave a lot of recitals.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
When you were...
At the SAC and up at, you know, they had a Le Grand Hotel up there with Safeway. Yeah. In fact, I don't know if I ever told you.
No, you've never told me about your recital.
Oh, well, and yeah, they're a public recital. And this one, Le Grand Hotel, I always remember this because there was a woman there. She was a ballet teacher, I think, but she traveled around. And so she didn't have anything to do. I was having a recital. I had an assistant usually. Somebody sang or played the violin or something. So she went to that recital. And after she came to me afterwards, and she said, have you ever thought of leaving here and studying someplace? And I said, well, no, it's not. And so, in fact, I think she gave me a card. It might have it in a little thing. And she said, I think maybe you have possibilities that maybe, and she was from Portland, I think, or Seattle or someplace. And so she gave me her card, and she said, if you decide that you want to go away from here, just give me a ring, and I think we can get together. And so I thought, gosh, I showed it to Mother, and my gosh, she said, of course. I was just sort of ready to, thought was
pack and leave.
I always thought that was funny. And she said, of course you're not going to a big city. I forgot what I was talking about.
Well, you did several recitals in hotels and so forth. So you were well known as a pianist.
Oh yeah.
During that time, then, so that led up to your teaching and so forth. But now, so you were talking about Florence Miller and called you.
Oh yeah,
that's
right. Going
back.
Oh, so she said that what she said. Lyle McMullen she had known him, see, from the music department there. She said that they're trying to get a music department started up here at school. And she said, they're short of money again, like, you know, they usually are. But they said that if we could get enough people interested in piano for private lessons, that they would hire Lyle McMullen. And I said, well, maybe that would be kind of fun. I sort of liked the idea. So I said, and besides, we were getting more money then, see. I could have afforded it because I had, in fact, I think I bought that old secondhand piano. And so I said, well, yeah, I think that would, and she said, well, I'll call you. I'll let you know. I think we can do something. And so then she called and said that in the fall that we would start up at the, still called normal school, maybe, I don't know then, but they were trying to get a music, a piano department. I think they had some choral things going by then, too.
So how long did you study up there?
That was in 58. Right, it was 48. And 3 years, I think, 3.5 years. Or I forget how much. I studied. We had college results, and in fact that old pink dress up there that you looked at was one that I played in a recital at the school. And I don't know whether I got tired or something. But anyway, because, gosh, I was practicing. And then Kurt was little, you know, too. And I think I had a problem with him, too. But anyway, but Lyle suggested I teach. He said, why don't you teach again? So I did. In fact,
so how did you get started teaching this?
I don't know. I was
he helped you.
He might have. I didn't have very many students at first, though. But I think maybe he'd have sent somebody to me or something.
They haven't had any other interruptions of teaching, which has been, you've taught all those years.
Other than that 10 years. Because I started NC in, what, 59? 59, I guess it was.
49?
No, 50. I'm all, no. No, I didn't teach while I was up there. It must have been 51 or 2.
So then you've been teaching all
every student
taught it again. Did you always have it here? People came to your house and...
Well, yeah, then I gave them up at the hotels again, you see.
The teachers were there in when you were starting to teach again?
Gosh, Helen Hansen was teaching. Yeah.
But the population hasn't increased that much, has it?
No, but people didn't study music as much as they do now. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they had last night. They had games. Pop, you know.
But with the school, they didn't have community.
Oh, no.
Did they have community things for adults? Like baseball teams and so forth for adults, but they didn't have community games.
Well, I think they did, because Pop played softball, you know, after we were... Do you remember him playing?
No.
I was trying to think.
Back just a minute. What was it like during the Depression, when everybody was scrapping, did you, is that the time when people would come by and stop and
roll?
I mean, were these families just passing through, or were they?
People, of course, they did go. They call them tramps, you know, but they weren't really tramps. But there was people that go around and get food from people.
Were they just asking for it, or were they asking to work for it?
Well, sometimes people would ask to work.
But sometimes they were just begging then?
Mm-hmm. Just begging.
So they were just sort of like living out of their car and just would go from here, one community to the other?
Well, most of the time they were walking.
Oh, they were walking?
They didn't have cars. Well, I don't know. I think some of them were local, but I think people would travel. You'd see people walk on the railroad tracks. I think they just, you know, went from place to place, I guess.
Home with people stealing or anything like that during that time? Because you're pretty close to the highway.
Oh, yeah, they stole all the time.
Oh.
See, they had a smokehouse back there, you know, they'd come steal your meat out of the smokehouse. Yeah, sometimes they'd even break locks, you know, but they never had any.
So what did you have in the smokehouse then?
All your cured meat.
Which would be hams?
Bacon and hams and shoulders.
And then what did you do with the beef that you would butcher?
They didn't have freezers. I think people did it as family, sort of, you know, they'd share it too, I think.
So just eat it fresh.
Uh-huh. Those cellars were pretty cold too.
Would they have ice?
Yeah, people would buy ice. They had old, not electric, Grandma Emma had one. They called the ice boxes. Do you remember what they
were? They would put the meat maybe
put
in
the ice. Uh-huh.
Things there they really
didn't
want to lose. So close here. Have you had anybody stop by recently? I know they used to stop by and run out of gas and have
that. I haven't money. They don't stop much anymore.
Do you think cell phones would stop that?
That could have been. Yeah, that could be.
Because it seemed like people were stopping here all the time, ran out of gas. Always done that, haven't they?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I'll bet that maybe would be.
Tell me about the gas can.
The what?
The gas can that you keep in the garage.
Oh, the pickle. Yeah, they have, yeah, we had a gas in there. And that one time the pickle tried to pack it off, you made.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time that I know that they ever did that. But
the farm have kept it full, a gas can full in the garage?
Oh, yeah, perfectly. There was some gas. So they packed it all down off the highway.
And then when would they bring it back, or would they?
Oh, well, these people didn't. The one that took over, that was a big gas tank. There were two men had taken that off.
Oh,
they really stole
that.
But people, we'd have a gas thing, just a gallon gas cannon thing on the all the time, so people would stop. And some of them would bring it back full, but some of them wouldn't. They'd just take the whole thing.
Oh, most of them would bring it back, or do you think?
Most of them would bring it back.
So not too many were?
No.
That way.
Most of them would bring, and they'd fill it and bring it back. Evidently they did, I don't know why because they thought they could make it over in the city, I think is what they did that. And they just fell short.
Have you done anything other than teach? Regret, I mean, you've talked about, you've gone back to school off and on and did your that, but do you have anything that you...
Not really.
Some.
I wish I had traveled more. And Pop used to tell me, go ahead and just go do it. I don't, he didn't want to travel. He did. But he said, you can go any place you want to.
Were there groups that people travel more, it seems like that, but were there groups early on that would go traveling here and there and you could?
Well, not as much. Of course, and I wouldn't have even gone to over there if it hadn't been for Donna Sands. It's just almost insisted that I do that.
Now that was what, the Middle East? Where was that? Jerusalem?
That was, yeah. We went to Jerusalem and Egypt and then we went over to, and we were in Austria and Germany too.
How long was that trip, I think?
I think it was 2 weeks. So we didn't get to see too much, you know. Maybe 7. I don't know how long.
What do you notice different about the kids when you first started teaching?
Well, of course, there's always some. But I haven't had too many that I've kids that were, you know, not cooperative, or I haven't had too.
So you really haven't noticed any change in kids from the early, let's say, the 30s and 40s of now? Just trends, general trends, or even with their parents?
Well, I haven't noticed I wouldn't say a great change. It's fertilizer now, and they didn't. You know, didn't used to do that. They had, a long time ago, everybody had a manure spreader and they'd go out and they raise it. They use it. Now it's so more expensive that it's just...
I think there's almost a trend to go back to organic, and I'm sure that would be the organic way of, of doing that.
And women.
And how does that affect people and how they live? I mean, they have more leisure time, obviously, but what else does that cause or help or whatever?
But, gosh.
Please. Are more cohesive then because they had to work together than they are now?
Well, it was just more simple. you know, just the, just people do more things and have more advantage, and gosh, it used to, life was just, they, people did more simple things, and well, you can see, and gosh, long, it used to be, if first people were divorced, it was kind of an oddity. I mean, there wasn't, now, of course, it's, I don't know what, 50, what is it, percent of people?
Five.
And before, you know, people, but it's, gosh, I'm sure people were unhappy and maybe wish they could get a divorce, because after all, human beings hasn't changed that, actual human being hasn't changed that much. It's just, well, there's just some more, so much more advantages now. And television, for instance. Gosh.
I guess what I'm asking is, do you think that's a good thing for the family unit in a farming community like this, or not? Community.
They're just, yeah, it was just different, yeah. It's just a bit, I think it's different lifestyle.
Work hard physically, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, just in thinking, you know.
Oh, I think, I, gosh, I think kids are smarter now, because they, you know, they have more advantages. It's bound to be, I think, a plus, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you take your driver's license, driving. 11?
8. 8. So, like Kurt said, I want you to quit worrying about it, because you have to think that, with, you know, positive, or you're